What happens when a 13th century monk tackles the biggest questions humanity has ever asked, and his answers still echo through Supreme Court decisions, papal encyclicals, and philosophy departments today? Thomas Aquinas's Summa Theologica stands as one of history's most audacious intellectual projects, a complete map of reality, from the nature of God to the price of bread. Written between 1265 and 1274, this massive work has shaped everyone from Martin Luther King Jr. to contemporary neuroscientists debating consciousness. Even Bertrand Russell, no friend to religion, called it one of the great books of the world. What makes a medieval theological text relevant in an age of quantum physics and artificial intelligence? The answer lies in Aquinas's revolutionary insight that faith and reason aren't enemies but partners in the search for truth. His balanced approach offers a sophisticated alternative to both fideism, rejecting reason for blind faith, and rationalism, accepting only what human reason can prove. For Aquinas, faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to contemplation of truth. Each is insufficient alone, but powerful together. Aquinas proves God's existence through reason alone, without scripture. His five ways work like detective evidence. The first argument, everything in motion was set moving by something else. A billiard ball doesn't move itself. Another ball strikes it, struck by a cue, wielded by a hand, powered by muscles, fueled by food, grown by sunlight. This chain can't extend infinitely backward. You need an unmoved mover that starts everything without needing a starter. His other arguments follow similar logic. Temporary things suggest something must exist necessarily. Degrees of perfection imply a maximum standard. The universe's intricate order suggests intelligent design. Aquinas refuses to separate faith from reason, viewing reason as a divine gift. Grace does not destroy nature, but perfects it, like upgrading software rather than deleting your operating system. When describing God's attributes, Aquinas employs the via negativa, defining God by what he isn't. God isn't limited by time, composed of parts, or subject to change. Our finite concepts can't fully capture an infinite being. Aquinas distinguishes knowledge types. Revealed truths, like the Trinity, exceed reason's grasp but don't contradict it, while truths, like God's existence, can be known through both revelation and rational demonstration. Against centuries viewing the body as a prison for the soul, Aquinas makes a radical claim. You are not a ghost driving a meat machine. Body and soul form one unified substance, inseparable and equally essential. The soul is the form of the body, he writes. Your soul isn't trapped inside. It's the organizing principle making your body distinctly yours. When you hug someone you love, the physical embrace is the connection. Your emotions aren't spiritual states producing physical symptoms. They're psychosomatic realities involving both mind and body. This perspective splits the difference between ancient dualism and modern materialism. Unlike Plato, who saw embodiment as a curse, Aquinas celebrates it. Unlike reductive materialists claiming consciousness is just neurons firing, he maintains that intellectual operations transcend mere matter. Consider abstract concepts like justice or infinity. You've never seen pure justice or touched actual infinity, yet you grasp these ideas. Aquinas's formula, "Nothing is in the intellect that was not first in the senses," captures this balance. All knowledge begins with sensory experience, but your intellect abstracts universal concepts from particular instances, demonstrating how humans uniquely bridge material and spiritual realms. What makes life worth living? For Aquinas, happiness isn't fleeting pleasure, but objective fulfillment through knowing and loving God, the infinite good that alone satisfies our unlimited desire. Notice how no finite achievement truly satisfies. The promotion, the house, the goal all fade, leaving you reaching for more. That restlessness reveals something deeper. Aquinas integrates Aristotle's virtue ethics with Christian theology. Virtues are habitual dispositions perfecting human powers, like practicing scales until piano becomes second nature. The cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, perfect natural capacities. Prudence applies right reason to action. Justice gives others their due. Fortitude enables wisdom-grounded courage. Temperance moderates pleasures according to reason. The theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, are divinely infused for supernatural happiness. Faith provides intellectual assent to divine truth. Hope directs desire toward eternal happiness. Charity, the greatest virtue, animates all others. Without love, even heroic actions ring hollow. As Paul wrote, "If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong." Aquinas's natural law theory grounds ethics in human nature itself, with the first principle, good is to be done and pursued, and evil avoided, foundational for all moral precepts. Aquinas defines law as an ordinance of reason for the common good promulgated by one who has care of the community, encompassing rationality, common good orientation, legitimate authority, and public promulgation. Human law derives its binding force from natural law, universal moral principles accessible to reason. When legislation contradicts natural law, it creates perversions of law, lacking moral authority. An unjust law is no law at all, Aquinas declares, anticipating civil disobedience traditions centuries before Martin Luther King Jr. Yet, Aquinas is no revolutionary. He views political authority as necessary for social order, with government's purpose being to create conditions where virtue flourishes. His justice framework distinguishes commutative justice, fairness in private exchanges, from distributive justice, proportional allocation of common goods. Aquinas transcends modern political categories. He defends private property for social peace while insisting ownership carries social obligations. The wealthy must assist the poor. For Aquinas, the material world isn't an obstacle to spiritual life, but the medium through which divine grace operates. This sacramental vision centers on the seven sacraments, visible signs that truly affect what they signify. Unlike mere symbols, sacraments make present what they represent. In baptism, water doesn't just symbolize spiritual cleansing, it actually affects it. In the Eucharist, bread and wine become Christ's body and blood substantially, not symbolically. This understanding depends on Aquinas's distinction between substance and accidents. The bread's substance changes, while its accidents, appearance, taste, texture, remain. This sacramental principle extends to Aquinas's entire worldview. Created things aren't obstacles to God, but revelations of divine goodness. A stunning sunset, a newborn's face, the mathematical elegance of physics, all point beyond themselves to their source. Grace doesn't oppose nature, but perfects it from within, elevating human freedom to participate in divine life. Like a master teacher who awakens natural curiosity rather than forcing learning, divine grace works with human nature, creating harmony between natural capacities and supernatural transformation. Aquinas's system culminates in the beatific vision, direct intellectual contemplation of God's essence, representing humanity's ultimate fulfillment. "The ultimate happiness of man consists in the contemplation of truth," he writes, "for this operation is specific to man and is shared with no other animals. This vision satisfies every human desire. The intellect finds perfect truth, the will rests in perfect goodness, and human nature attains its ultimate end." Unlike mystical traditions abandoning intellect, Aquinas maintains that knowing and loving God are inseparable. The beatific vision is simultaneously perfect knowledge and perfect love. This final end gives meaning to the entire moral journey. Virtues shape character for this encounter, laws guide behavior towards this good, and sacraments provide grace for this destiny. The Summa's structure reflects this trajectory, beginning with God as first cause, proceeding through creation, culminating in return to God as final end. The beatific vision explains why no earthly good, material prosperity, sensual pleasure, political power, even natural knowledge, provides complete satisfaction. Only infinite truth and goodness can satisfy the human heart's infinite capacity. Aquinas's comprehensive synthesis offers a model for integrated thinking across disciplines. His natural law theory influences legal philosophy and human rights frameworks. His virtue ethics provides alternatives to rigid rule-following and moral relativism. Whether or not you share his Catholic faith, Aquinas's methodical pursuit of wisdom models how to integrate knowledge into a coherent vision of reality.